Numbers are telling the story today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the Morning Open, a look at the economy as we start the trading day. Let's dive right in. Where's Wall Street? Numbers are up right now. The S&P up about 0.25%. The NASDAQ up about 0.1%. Same for the Dow, up 16 points at 98.05. Europe's mixed right now, but basically flat. In Asia, shares were mostly higher today, about 1-2%. Seems today economic news has been the center of attention. We got word the Case-Shiller survey shows U.S. home prices edged up about 1.5% in July from the month before. The Conference Board releases consumer confidence data in a little more than an hour. Julie Niemann is analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live from St. Louis this morning. Hi, Julie.
Good morning, Steve.
So 18 of 20 metro areas showed increases in average home prices month to month. That sounds like good news. Is it really good news?
Well, bring out the hats and horns, you know, because we're looking at an annual decline now of only 13% instead of 14%. Yeah. We're still in negative territory, but we're looking at a three-year plunge in housing, stabilizing, basically. Now, prices are back to where they were in 2003, and that's normal. They're not undervalued. And, of course, you got to put in the caveats here. The stimulus is going away. The $8,000 stimulus is going away in November. Unemployment's still rising, which leads to delinquencies, which leads to foreclosures, which will put pressure on prices.
That's the 8,000 first-time home buyers stimulus, right? Yeah.
Right, and they're unlikely to renew it at this point. Further fiscal stimulus, Congress is really not in the mood for it.
Yeah, and here we are with earnings season again, right? The first of the month just coming up, and we heard from Walgreens, the drugstore company, said profit was better than expected. How do you think earnings will treat this bullish Wall Street, Julie?
Well, Walgreens is a real good bellwether here. How did they get there? Basically, it was increase in pharmacy. We know what that's coming down the line. They changed their product mix. Not so much of the stuff as seen on TV, but the necessities, milk, soup, bread, eggs, and that kind of thing. You're going to see increases in earnings for companies that are basically going with the product mix, selling what people need right now.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're cost-cutting because of layoffs. So consider the source. This is good news in that they're controlling costs, but this is hardly a run for the roses in terms of top-line earnings growth.
All right. Julie Niemann joining us from St. Louis. Julie, thanks.
You bet.
New numbers out today from the International Air Transport Association say things are looking up for the airline industry, just not enough. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is live in our New York bureau. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
Business looking up. What does it mean?
Well, it means that more people flew in August than they did in July, but it's still a lot fewer people than were flying at this time a year ago.
And what have airlines been doing to deal with the problem?
Well, the thing is, it costs the same to fly a plane if it's totally full or totally empty. So what the domestic airlines started doing about a year ago is just flying fewer planes. So the planes that are flying are much fuller. Now, I talked to an analyst this morning who said that can actually be a really good thing for passengers because there's less congestion. You're more likely to get your bags back quickly. The flip side is that if a flight is canceled because of something like weather or mechanical trouble, then it can be really hard to find another flight because they're all completely booked.
All right. And, you know, we talk about the holidays and weather and all that. You know, do we start looking ahead to holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, quickly?
Absolutely. Flights are going to be very full over the holidays. Fares are going to be going up. You should probably buy right now and probably plan to arrive at least a day before you need to be someplace.
All right. Marketplace's Elisa Roth. She was another girl who inspired a song. Lucy Vodden went to school with John Lennon's son. One day, four-year-old Julian came home and showed Dad a picture, calling it Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. At the time, Lennon was working on one of the best-selling albums of all time, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. The rest is musical history. Lucy Vodden died a few days ago after a long bout with lupus. She was 46 years old. You're listening to The Morning Report for Tuesday, September 29th, 2009 at Marketplace.org. The cell phone giant Vodafone has struck a deal to sell the iPhone in the UK. The company is now the third telecom operator in Britain to reach such an agreement with Apple. Stephen Beard has more from London.
Until now, the iPhone has been sold exclusively in Britain through the telecom operator O2. Since the device was launched here 2 years ago, it's transformed the cell phone market. O2 sold more than 1 million of the handsets and took tens of thousands of subscribers from its rivals. That exclusive contract with Apple is coming to an end. Two other operators, Vodafone and Orange, have signed deals. Stephen Hartley is with Ovum Research. He says it can't be long before something similar happens in the US.
Given the example in the UK and other markets around the world, I think it's inevitable the US will eventually open up in some way, shape or form. So AT&T certainly can't rest on its laurels.
He says it's in Apple's interest to get as many telecom operators on board as possible. The company profits not only from the sale of handsets, it takes a cut from the booming market in iPhone applications. 2 billion of them have already been downloaded. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
There's another lead poisoning scandal in industrial China. This time, it's a factory that makes batteries for cars and motorcycles. There are reports 121 kids living near the plant have tested for high levels of lead. Marketplace's Shanghai correspondent Scott Tong has more.
The company's website says it exports batteries to America, among other countries. State media report that children with excessive lead in their blood live close to the plant. These factories, according to environmental groups, often discharge their waste into nearby bodies of water, affecting crops and what people drink. By law, factories are supposed to report their emissions, but Stephen Ma at Greenpeace China says enforcement is weak.
People only are aware of the pollution situation after the damages are already done to their health, but this kind of information, like what kind of pollutants they're putting into the environment, should be provided beforehand.
The public health group OK International says batteries are increasingly outsourced to the developing world, and that each new car on the road today contains some 27 pounds of lead, mostly in the battery. Chinese officials promise to compensate families and shut down the plant. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Don't panic if the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation runs out of cash. The U.S. Treasury will back it up. Your bank account is still safe. But as Marketplace's Steve Henn reports, the FDIC's board meets today to discuss how to get through its own cash crunch.
It's cost the FDIC $14 billion to shut down 50 banks in the last 3 months. Bert Ely is a banking consultant.
This situation is turning out to be much more expensive in terms of disposing of failed banks than I think anybody had anticipated.
Lately, the FDIC jacked bank premiums to cover its losses. Bill Black, a former bank examiner, says that weakens banks.
Banks that are well-run end up paying eventually a very heavy price.
Some suggest the FDIC borrow money from healthy banks. Black says it's time for the U.S. Treasury to bail out an FDIC that's flat broke. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Sales of music albums are down about 15% compared to last year, but some upcoming releases may help reverse that decline. Today, Mariah Carey releases her newest CD, Memoirs of an Imperfect Angel. But unlike past CDs, it's got something a little different, as Marketplace's Daryl Perinata explains.
When you open up Mariah Carey's new CD, it'll have the stuff you're used to, liner notes and lyrics. But the CD's booklet will also have advertisements. Jeff Strawn is VP of Strategic Marketing at Carey's label, Island Def Jam.
It's a actual magazine with a lot of interesting photography and insights.
You might call it a mini magazine, 34 pages of Mariah-centric content. The advertisers were carefully chosen to reflect Carey's taste, like high-end shoemaker Carmen Steffens and cosmetics company Elizabeth Arden.
This is a way that we could help make money and offset what we otherwise are spending on the production.
Elle Magazine produced the booklet, and Strawn says other companies jumped on board because their ads will have a longer shelf life and reach a bigger audience than traditional magazine advertisements. But music purists resent what they see as an intrusion of ads into art. Billboard deputy editor Bill Wordy says in the digital age, the music industry has no choice but to get creative.
I don't really see any downside to this, and I think the music fans are going to get great additional content that they don't have to pay for, and I think that Mariah Carey and her record labels are going to make some money off of this.
Island Def Jam says it has similar marketing plans in store for other artists on its roster. I'm Daryl Perinata for Marketplace.
Chicago Cubs open their final homestand of the regular season today at Wrigley Field, but as anyone in Wrigleyville knows, there's plenty of action outside the stadium as well. Chicago Public Radio's Adrian Hill reports an effort to simmer down some of the pregame craziness is starting with street vendors.
Wrigley Field is right in the middle of Chicago, and it can be raucous at game time. There are ticket scalpers and guys selling peanuts.
Peanuts, keep on the outside.
You can get an official program for $5 or a less official scorecard.
Fan scorecard, $1.
And there are street vendors selling T-shirts, some of which have slogans that are nowhere near polite. There's one with a silhouette of a man in a sombrero-like hat pushing a lawnmower. It says, "Pujols mows my lawn," a reference to Albert Pujols, the Dominican first baseman, who plays for Cubs arch enemy, the St. Louis Cardinals.
The people love our shirts. They crack out. Sometimes they say it's a little racist, but we're having fun. It's like, you know, it's a laughter. We don't really hate them, but it's like a sport thing.
That's street vendor Charles Utzler. Earlier this year, a city official proposed a rule that would move guys like Utzler and their T-shirts away from Wrigley Field during game time, citing issues of safety and crowd control. Utzler doesn't buy it.
At the end, it comes down to the almighty dollar, you know, so they're trying to push us out. We're like an insect they want to step on.
Utzler thinks the Cubs and the brick-and-mortar stores who sell licensed Cubbies gear don't want to share fans' money with street vendors. Not so, says Jake O'Neill, who works at one of those stores. He says the street vendors sell a totally different product. There's not much overlap in their customers.
There's just a market for those type of shirts, and then there's people who want the authentic stuff, so I don't think it's a huge competition.
But there is a lot of money up for grabs here. Victor Matheson is a sports economist at College of the Holy Cross. He says the Cubs make about $50 million in annual revenue inside the stadium on things like food and souvenirs, and they're losing out.
A typical modern stadium is a walled fortress surrounded by a big moat of parking lots, which serves to drive all the economic activity inside the stadium and away from the local neighborhoods. Of course, at a place like Wrigley Field that's built right into the neighborhood, that's very, very hard to do. And so the Cubs lose a great deal of their revenue to the surrounding neighborhood.
But Matheson says the Cubs have to be careful not to drive away some of what makes Wrigley special, which for many fans includes all the hubbub. From Chicago, I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chitakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.